Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me.
The yearly week of prayer for Christian unity, which invites the whole Christian community throughout the world to pray in communion with the prayer of Jesus, that they all may be one, began Monday, 18th of January. This year, the theme is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, that you may be witnesses. The week comes to a close on Sunday with Pope Benedict XVI presiding over Vespers in St. Paul's outside the walls. In an effort to find out more about this solemn celebration, I turned to the abbot of the Benedictine monastery attached to this basilica, his Father Edmund Power. I began by asking him about the ties of St. Paul's outside the walls to ecumenism.
I would say would be that it's because of the character of Paul himself. We know that Paul is an apostle without limits to his vision. From the very beginning, it was he who believed that the gospel was for all nations, whereas the other apostles needed quite a lot of convincing to accept that. I think that fact means that Paul has been kind of venerated in a particular way by all branches of the whole Christian communion, whether Protestant, Orthodox, or Catholic. And I think that fact, that he's not anybody in particular's possession, means that he's a very good apostle, his eye always on Christ, his eye always on the mission. And of course, the mission of Christianity is one of the main reasons why we have to have unity, not only because Christ prayed for it, which is a good enough reason in itself, but also because if we are to preach the gospel as Christ asked us to do, we have to do it together in today's world. We probably had to do it together always, but history has shown that there's been these divisions. So Paul is a particularly good patron, I would say, and the fact that this is his burial place and his shrine means that this basilica takes on something of his charism.
Because it has a history, anyway, during the 20th century of landmark events. I mean, John 23rd called the Second Vatican Council here, no?
Yeah, he didn't in fact call it in the basilica. He called it in the monastery, in the abbot's parlour. There's been a number of events held at St. Paul's. That's understandable in a way. There's very pragmatic reasons, because in some ways it's the most accessible of the four great basilicas, but also it's the second largest basilica in Rome, more sort of open than the others.
Pope Benedict came to your church the day after his solemn inauguration as the 264th successor of Peter. Do you think that he's singled out your basilica in a special way?
No, I think that his action was totally and utterly logical in terms of the whole kind of theology of the Roman Church. I think he made the obvious gesture, which is to recognize the fact that the Church of Rome is based on Peter and Paul, never on Peter alone and never on Paul alone, but on Peter and Paul. It's true that Peter took on much greater prominence in the course of the centuries, and that's reflected, for example, in the great prominence of his basilica. Everybody thinks St. Peter's, St. Peter's. But in fact, the Roman Church is based on the witness of Peter and Paul. And the Holy Father, who's got a very good sense of history, realizes that it's clear. And the fact that when he inaugurated his ministry as Bishop of Rome at St. Peter's on the 24th of April, I think it was totally right that immediately afterwards he should come and take possession of the Basilica of St. Paul, where the other apostle, equally important for Rome, is buried. And so that gesture, I think, was a wonderful demonstration of the origins of the Roman Church on the faith of the Keeper of the Keys and of the Preacher to the Nations.
Who decides how the liturgy is going to take place? Do you do it yourselves at St. Paul's,
or is it the Pope's
liturgies?
In fact, we're not involved at all, really, in any direct way in the organization of the planning of the actual liturgy. For a papal liturgy, wherever the Holy Father celebrates, it's in the hands of the director of the papal liturgies, who's Monsignor Guido Marini now. They are responsible for deciding and for putting together the booklet. Obviously, they'll consult with various people concerned, and it's certainly the case. The basic structure of this liturgy is the office of the Roman Rite, the Feast of the Conversion of St. Paul. There certainly will have been a considerable input on the part of the Pontifical Council for Christian Unity, which is very involved in this because it's an ecumenical occasion in the sense that representatives of other churches are invited.
Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.